I don't always get a chance to do community spotlight, but I did want to take some time. And since I can do calls over the internet, I can get with people and I can find out what's going on. Well, normally we would have One Plus God Ministries coming in this week to talk to us about missions. But nothing is happening with missions right at the very moment. But we haven't really talked about what happens outside the U.S. Now, in no way am I downplaying anything that's going on in the U.S., but I thought it was important for us to understand that other countries are dealing with the COVID-19 and the quarantine thing much differently than we do. And so the whole reason for me to bring this conversation to you is so that you have an opportunity to pray for our brothers and sisters that are elsewhere in the world. This is what we should be doing, is praying for these folks. So I'm going to take a few minutes right now. I want you to listen to part one of my conversation with Vaynon DeWitt, who is the executive director for One Plus God Ministries. And I asked him specifically, what's going on in the countries that you guys serve?
I mean, I know what we're experiencing here in the U.S., and I know how it's affecting people here, because you can ask someone and you can get their, you know, basic rundown. But what's happening around the world? You deal with, what, 8 different countries?
Yes. I think if I can just start with my home country, South Africa, you know, the whole idea of combating the virus, at least in Europe and the States and, you know, many other places, has this word social distancing. But if you look at Africa, and you know, we're a group culture, so the entire culture is about, you know, doing things together, and I think so. Even one of the bigger differences that I've noticed is between how America and Africa and of course also Haiti, and so. To ask a culture which is more individualistic by nature to tell them to practice social distancing is one thing. To ask, an entire continent who is by nature group-orientated people, you know, social distancing is just an extremely out-of-the-world concept. You know, so it's almost as if you're asking them to do something that aliens do on planet Mars. You know, it's, while if I would ask you to stay a little bit further away from someone, it's like, sure, no problem. It's a little bit weird to stand a little bit further away from someone, but it's not completely beyond your realm of comprehension. But you know, in Africa, it's just a very weird thing to ask from people to physically stay, keep a certain distance from each other. The other problem that we have is that we have to imagine, you know, that homes in America are often a little bit apart from each other, and the homes are bigger, and so you have more space to yourself. But if you think about areas, especially, and there are millions of people living like this that are living in shacks or little tin homes or even little brick homes, you know, so whether you go from a little brick home to a little tin home to a shack, it's not only the size of the home that becomes smaller, it's also the space on which they are built becomes smaller. So people living in these tiny homes, shacks, or little tin homes, they average between 4 to 6 people in a space a little bit bigger than an average-sized bedroom in the States, you know, or perhaps at the most your bedroom and your bathroom perhaps combined. I mean, you've been there, Angie. We're talking about very, very small spaces of people that are, you know, 4 to 6 people constantly in the same space. And then you have to remember that often, especially when you go to the areas where you have what are called squatter areas, or sometimes these areas would also be referred to as slums, Kind of depending on how you define a slum and how you define a squatter camp, we mostly talk about squatter areas or disadvantaged areas or impoverished areas. But anyways, whatever word you choose to define it with, in many of these type of areas, homes would not have their own toilet, you know, their own bathroom. Bathroom is anyways, that's a totally American concept, totally first world concept. Every person has their own shower or their own bath, you know. A bath in many of these places would be a little tub where you just splash, we call it splash wash yourself, you know. So for the physical toilets, often the problem is that, you know, 5, 6 to 10 homes multiply by the amount of people that live there, use these toilets. So it's like a little community toilet almost for a couple of homes. So it will be outside in an outside type of, you know, structure, just a hole in the ground with some type of a seat on top. And then the other problem that connects with all of this is sanitizing. I mean, in general, if you would ask people living in any of the areas where Pastor Onnelly serves, in squatter areas, again, people living even off of dump site in shacks or in little tin homes or little brick homes, if you would ask them where's your hand sanitizer, they would look at you as if you. I would be surprised if there's a word existing in their vocabulary that describes hand sanitizer. So, you know, you talk about things that are just social distancing. Even if you would be able to get people to stay away from each other, you know, you still have these problems where they need to use the same toilet or the same bucket as a bathroom. And hand sanitizers is people barely can afford toilet paper, you know, and if you have water, you use it to cook, you know. If you cannot use an entire bucket of water to bathe in, and you can definitely not use it as much as you want just to constantly wash yourself, you know. So, and even the water itself is not always that clean. So the problems is on several levels, I guess I want to say, you know, social distancing on a psychological level is just against what they are culturally geared to do, you know. And then you have a lot of people living in small areas. The homes itself are far closer to each other. And then the communal use, especially toilets.
It literally would spread like wildfire, because I've seen these villages. They all are very communal, like you said, with groups and, you know, pass the babies back and forth. They raise children together and they do life together. And so it's much different than here. It's almost as if we all lived in the same apartment building and we were responsible for raising each other's children.
Yeah, absolutely. So the problems that Africa face is, you know, with something like this is far, far removed from what we experience here in the States. It's not so easy. One of the most heartbreaking examples that I have is a journalist of some kind encountered a man walking with his daughter in town the other day, stopped them and said, "Do you understand about social distancing? Do you understand that, you know, when you come to town to buy some food or whatever, you should probably leave your child at home and not expose them, you know?" And the man said, "What do you mean leave my child at home? If I leave my daughter at home, by the time that I get back, she'll be either raped or murdered. I cannot leave my child at home. What do you mean leave my child at home? You know, I cannot do that. What are you talking about?" He did not say that, but I mean, the argument is, you know, we'd rather get sick together before I leave my child at home. And, you know, so it's almost choosing between the lesser of two evils, you know.
That is just the first part of my conversation that I had the other day with Vaynon DeWitt. He is the executive director for One Plus God Ministries. And yeah, he talked a lot about South Africa because that's where he's from. But I do have a full video interview with him that we're going to be putting up on our YouTube channel a little bit later on. And it's really, it's just kind of amazing to step into the shoes of people around the world and how they're dealing with COVID-19. We're going to have more on that interview coming up in just a few minutes.